word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing it to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open this evening to the doctrine of angels. We'll pick up Roman numeral 3, page 2 of our notes. All right, if you're not in fellowship, now is the time to make sure you are, to rebound if necessary, securing the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, so that we can once again profit from the study at hand this evening. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound as necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for the perfectness of your plan, the perfection of it. We look forward to its fulfillment and total complete confidence and expectation. We ask you to bless us in regards to our thinking and understanding your plan in this capacity once again this evening. Be it God, the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we're reviewing the higher order beings that are superior to the human race that were created by God before even the creation of our existing universe. And we're dealing here in Roman numeral 3 with the definition and description of angels. Angels, A, are supernatural spiritual beings that were created by God to serve Him, acting as God's messengers to men and agents that carry out His will. Two of the primary terms, one in the Hebrew and one in the Greek, Malach and Angelos. The basic meaning of the term is messenger. Angels are messengers, just like there are human messengers. We have angelic messengers, and they represent one whom they align themselves with in regards to the authority structure in the Godhead or otherwise. So be unlike God, they have not eternally pre-existed. While once they are created, they are designed to live forever. They were created. So they do not have a eternal pre-existence as God, who has always existed. And the time of their creation predated the physical being, beginning of the material universe, point B, of which they are viewed as worshiping spectators. That event was a fantastic event that was provided for their enjoyment, for their observation, as they watched God literally create a universe along the very same lines of what we see out there today in regards to our universe. So see, all angels came into existence at the same time in eternity past, created by God the Son, and none will be added to their number. A specific number was created, whether it's simultaneously or close to it. Obviously, we can't say one way or the other. But they, by all appearance, came into being fairly together. And the number of angels that God created, that was it. And none are added to their number, at least according to any divine revelation that we are privy to today. So D, all angels were created in a state of holiness. That means that they were created righteous, perfect without sin, morally. At their origin, as evidenced by the fact that Lucifer, an angel of the cherub class, was created perfect. The angels are divided into two categories. There are the elect angels, and then there are those angels that, along with Satan or Lucifer, which was his prior name, rebelled against God and fell from their elect class in this respect. And while they did rebel against God, and while Satan and the demons are evil in regards to their nature, they were not created that way. Satan was created, if you will, at the highest level of prestige and position. In the throne room of God is where he portrayed his role in service to God. His beauty was unmatched by any of the other angels, but he obviously had volition, and he chose under pride to exalt himself above God and hence rebel, and he convinced one third of the host of angels that with his reasoning, whatever it was, that his position was correct. And we see a third of the angelic host under their volition going negative in a perfect environment otherwise. So the fact that they're all pointed, were created righteously, this points to the fact that the essence of God cannot be the source or agent of evil. Evil came about in existence due to the volition, the choice, the free choice that he gave his higher created beings, angelic, and then also as it relates to us as humanity. God is perfect. He cannot be the author of evil. He is not the author of evil, or else he's less than God. There is the concept, is that Eastern mystic type of concept that evil and good are combined together, etc. And God created evil along with good. That is blasphemous. Deuteronomy 32:4 declares unabashedly the rock, which is the Lord God, his work is perfect, all that he has done in creation, all that he has ever produced, it is perfect, without error. For all his ways are just, completely in line with perfect justice, absolute justice, a God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. God is plusar. He always has been, and he always will be. That is the attribute that we refer to in God's list of attributes as the watchdog of all his attributes. God can do nothing to violate his plusar, including that which he creates in the world. 2 Chronicles 19:7. Now then, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Be very careful what you do, for the Lord our God will have no part in unrighteousness. He does not participate in any aspect of unrighteousness in regards to alignment with it, bringing it about, producing it, etc., or partiality. Everything is based on the standards of his moral perfectness, or the taking of a bribe. You can't bribe God. Like some people think they can bribe God. Oh God, if you will give me this, I will do this. Like you can convince God in bribing. That one movie that I always remember whenever I talk about God in this vein is that one with Burt Reynolds in it, where he goes out in the ocean and he's going to kill himself, and he gets out there and gets cold feet, decides he doesn't want to, and he starts praying to God as he tries to swim back. Oh God, I'll give you all the money I make from now on out, trying to bribe God to help him out. And the closer he gets, obviously, the less amount of money. I'll give you half a day. That's quite a bit. You don't need all that. You're God, you know. And then down to the deal. Oh, God, you know my intentions were good. Thanks. Bribe God, you know. The human viewpoint approach regard to God, somehow God is one of those magic Buddha bellies, you know, why people give gifts to gods, pagan idolatry, their practice, things of this nature. God is not partial. He doesn't take a bribe. Everything is based on his own moral perfection. And then Psalm 92:15. to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Not one bit. He is described as being absolute light in the Epistle of John. There is no darkness or evil in Him, unrighteousness in Him, one bit. So F, angels that did not fall, the ones who did not buy into Satan's propaganda in that regards, are still referred to as holy angels. One of the things about holy or elect angels is that they were created with a perfection morally themselves, absolutely righteous, and they have retained that righteousness throughout their history of existence. And hence they are referred to as holy, that set apart to God in righteousness. Mark 8:38, just as examples of reference in that vein. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Revelation 14:10. Certain angels will be participants in regards to the tribulational period, providing announcements to the world in an evangelistic role, etc. Warnings, giving warnings. And here we have a third angel, verse 9, following them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or upon his head, hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God. You know, those who succumb volitionally to taking the mark of the beast have determined within that they will not ever become believers, and they are destined for eternal condemnation. And he will be tormented with the fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So, obviously, the angels, the elect angels, Jesus Christ, have access to any aspect of God's creation, including hell, obviously including even the lake of fire, and the judgment will be executed upon them in the presence of them. Just as we are eyewitnesses, people are eyewitnesses to the execution of murderers in time. G, while angels are not eternal as God is, once they were created, they cannot grow old, die, or cease to exist. Luke 20:36. In the teaching in regards to marriage and resurrection, angels as a race are celibate. They were not created for procreation purposes in regards to increasing their numbers. And in resurrection body, believers will not be married in phase 3. And obviously, another aspect of resurrection body is you will never die in regards to your existence in that state. Obviously, our souls are created eternal, but we will receive an outer vessel covering a new body, a resurrection body, too, that is not temporal like the one we have today, but it is eternal. And he goes on, for neither can they die anymore, for they are like angels. Once we receive that new resurrection body, we do become in this new state of existence like angels. And our sons of God being sons of the resurrection. C, So that verse makes clear that angels cannot die. They are immune to death in regards to their beings. And in Revelation 20:10, in regards to example of the fallen angels, here in regards to Satan and the devil who deceived them, was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. They preceded him. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. H, based on the fact that they are often compared to stars, as we saw in the Job passage, and that both angels and stars are called the host of heaven, we conclude that there is an innumerable but finite company of angels that only God can count. If you've ever been in some place where there is no city lights around for miles, absolute dark, and you have a clear sky, the number of stars compared to what you usually see in our country where we live just is almost mind-boggling. No way that you can sit there and ever count those stars, and you're only looking at from that perspective that you're able to see where the earth is rotating at that point in time. So the number of stars, not unlike sand on the seashore, just millions, billions, if not trillions of them. But there is a finite number. Deuteronomy 4:19, and hence, with logical deduction, we can conclude that there's a mess of angels, but there is a finite number. God knows who they are, how many they are, just like He knows the numbers of the hairs of your head. Deuteronomy 4:19. And beware, unless you lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the hosts of heaven, be drawn away and worship them and serve them, those which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. The weirdness of religiosity that people get involved in, astrology, things of this nature, worshiping of angels, as we recognize. 1 Kings 22:19. Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left." So we see this parallel of use of terms. Host of heaven can refer to the literal stars, refer to angels. Psalm 174, 4. Psalm 147:4, regards to Yahweh, regards to the Lord, He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. God isn't just into naming literal stars, I'm here to tell you. Hebrews 12:22. But you have come to Mount Zion, even to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels. And the myriads is 10,000s in the plural. How many 10,000s? Beyond probably our scope of observation, at least in our human bodies. The term angel, as used for angelic creation, As we have noted, the term can be angelos or malach, can be used in regards to human messengers. Is not to be confused with the phrase the angel of the Lord. This phrase is used in the Old Testament, occurring some 57 times. Example here, Genesis 16, verses 7 and 9. So in your study of the Scripture, you run across this phrase. Is this an elect angel? No, it's not. It is God the Son in theophany, as the next point brings out, teaching or providing a message. Genesis 16, 7. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in regards to Sarai in the wilderness by the spring on the way to Shur. That's Jesus Christ in theophany. God the Son in theophany, as he appears to Abraham and Sarah during their time here for Sarah in particular. And he's referred to as the angel of the Lord. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. And this is to Hagar in regards to her situation with Sarah, which was not amenable at that point in time. Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her. So we see this phrase used in description of the messenger to Hagar. The angel of the Lord said to her further. So, Jay, a careful study of these passages denotes that this angel of the Lord is the Lord himself. Genesis 22:11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven. That's God speaking. Specifically, the second member of the Godhead, God the Son. Abraham, Abraham, he said, here I am. Verse 15, then the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time from heaven. Then compare Judges 2:1. Now the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land where I have sworn to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. That could be nobody else but God. And there you have a direct identification as to the angel of the Lord being God. So the angel of the Lord is the second member of the Godhead in theophany, as he manifests himself either verbally or physically or in other form or fashion. All right, Roman numeral 4. This section deals with the nature of angels, as we have touched on already to a certain degree. Angels are a category of created beings that are superior to mankind and inferior to God. B, their makeup or composition more closely resembles that of God in that they are incorporeal, which means immaterial. In other words, they do not have a material body or form such as we have, a tangible flesh that you can feel, etc., in their natural state, but have the ability to take a physical form. They can materialize out of this spirit nothingness and become tangible. That's a cool trick. Let's see the magician do that up on the stage. I'll pay good money to see it. Not unlike the resurrection body. Jesus Christ in resurrection body was invisible, but then he appeared to the disciples in the room in which they were locked in. No structure obstructed him from entering in. And they felt him. They touched him. They thought he was a ghost. So, angels have a body or are makeup of such spirit nature, but they had the capability then to take on human form. or a physical form, whether it's human or otherwise. That's Psalm 104:4. He makes literally the spirits his messengers, flaming fire his ministers. And that describes, using the term spirit, angels in that verse. So they are a spirit form, and hence more closely resemble God. God is invisible. He is spirit. He's not black or white. He's not yellow. He's a spirit. He's not male or female in form, though he is always represented in the masculine gender. He is a spirit. All this hoopla and argument you see out there in the world, you know, God's a woman or God's a man or whatever. Why don't you get your act together and recognize him for what he really is. He's a spirit. Just like the Holy Spirit is a spirit. It is not a ghost. It's not an apparition. He is a spirit. Angels are spirits. And the spirits have unbelievable capabilities in the manifestation of their persons and what they are able to do otherwise. They can manipulate the atoms and molecular structure around them. And they could show up and walk in this classroom and sit down. You would not know them from another human being, except for the fact that they may be about 7 or 8 inches tall, and most of us, and have an unbelievable physique or something like that. You know. And they're not showing up, not elect angels anyway, showing up looking like the homeless with long hair. I guarantee you, an elect angel is going to be presentable. Long hair on a male is an abomination. It's an act of rebellion to God. Maybe a demon, but not an elect angel. All these ideas that float out there, nothing but images of men fantasizing in their own mind. One, angels, like God, are generally invisible, but they observe the activities of mankind. They have an active participation in regards to our human history. And they constantly observe us. Daniel 4:13-17. They are interested in Bible doctrine. It'll be interesting to see how many visitors we've had in our Bible classes one of these days that we were not aware were here. Daniel 4:13. I was looking in the visions in my mind as I lay on my bed. Behold, an angelic watcher, a holy one, descended from heaven. Verse 17. The sentence is by the decree of the angelic watchers. See, they're called watchers. They are truly in tune in regards to what's going on with us, because we are fulfillment of their Creator's plan. A plan that they, again, are a part of. An integral part of. Their success rides on our success. And vice versa for the elect. See, these are called angelic watchers. And the decision is a command of the holy ones in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind. So too, for this reason, they are often referred to as spirits, as they can be invisible to our sight. Hebrews 1:14. And they are they not all ministering spirits in regards to the angels? Verse 13, but to which of the angels has he ever said? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Probably heard the phrase guardian angels. Angels sent to help protect us in regards to our lives, our positive volition, the fact that we are believers in and of itself. How often they have intervened on our behalf. Again, as I stated last class, the reason why you want to be oriented to this doctrine, because you will be in their company ultimately. And it'd be nice to know, be nice to be in front of them and not be totally ignorant of their persons or have false concepts. See. And then to find out and see it in reality, etc. To meet those angels that maybe intercede with service on your behalf. I'd like to shake your hand. Thank you. So they're often referred to as spirits because they are invisible. They are a spirit form in the natural state. Three, however, they can manifest themselves in a physical form if the occasion demands it, and mostly appear as ordinary men. And the majority of the cases of angels appearing before someone, it is in the form of the ordinary male. Genesis 18. One through three. Now the Lord appeared to Abraham, him, by the oaks of Mamre, where he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. And when he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. The other two were angels. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Compare 19:1. Now the two angels, that's the other two that were accompanied with the Lord in Theophany, they're the ones that were sent on to Sodom to warn Lot. So 19:1 identifies the other two as specifically as two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. John 20, verse 12, New Testament. In regards to the angels guarding Jesus' tomb or empty tomb, and Mary came in verse 12, she beheld two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying, and they said to her in the masculine tense, Hebrews 13:2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. To always seek to maintain the proper application of your life in association with those around you. Being courteous, you never know who you may run into. Here, the application of hospitality, especially in the time historically, in the early apostolic period, hospitality was a big thing as people generally traveled by foot or horse or whatever, and to put up people in the evening. But it behooves each and every one of us always to be sensitive to the fact of treating people correctly, because I sure would hate to hack one of them off, even unintentionally. 4, the exception to the temporal transformations from spiritual to material in form is the four living creatures or four living beings. As we have recorded in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 10, and as we dealt with when we did the book of Revelation 4, 6 through 8, Ezekiel 1:10. Verse 5, as Ezekiel is looking in regards to his vision, within it there were figures representing, resembling four living beings, and this was their appearance. They had human form. And then verse 10, as for the form of their faces, each had the face of a man, all four had the face of a lion on the right, the face of a bull on the left, and all four had the face of an eagle. So they were four-sided in this vision in regards to their appearance. And then we see them mentioned again, all or also, I put it that way, in Revelation 4, where they are pictured there as being in the throne room of God in the third heaven, where God chooses to manifest himself. And before the throne there was, as it were, verse 6, a sea of glass like crystal, in the center and around the throne four living creatures or beings, full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, the second creature like a calf, the third creature had a face like that of a man, the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. Similar, but some differences, which we'll look at closer in the doctrine itself. So that is one of the exceptions in regards to the manifestation of angels that appear in a physical form, and that is the four living creatures or the four living beings recorded in Ezekiel and Revelation. So these, point five, angelic beings are presented as having a permanent visual form at all times, whether in the eternal or temporal state. It's my contention that they represent the throne of God himself as guards, if you will, and wherever his throne is, they go. They're one and part of the same. And they're presented in one state. In phase three, Ezekiel, it's my contention that they're being visualized with the throne being ruled on this planet. And hence are seen in time in within our dimensional perception. And which we will discuss as point five, the end of point five, which will be further discussed in the following categories of angels. Different categories of angels. See, angels were created to provide a revelation of the invisible God, with each angel designed to express some aspect of God's plan or person. Considering how many angels there are, there's a lot about God. There is a lot about God, see. I'm not saying that there's not overlap. But they all are seen in roles of representation of God in some form or fashion. Indeed, the distinction between men and angels is one that is eternal and will be a reality in phase 3. 1 Corinthians 6:3. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more matters of this life? The exaltation that we receive in our association with Jesus Christ as the unique God-man can't be understated. In spite of a superior race, we will have positions of higher authority in our new eternal disposition and state. Hebrews 2:7. Regards to the Son of God, you have made him for a little while lower than the angels. That pictures humanity in living on this earth during this period of history of which we exist. That is only for a little while that he was lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and have appointed him over the works of your hands. Part of the exaltation of Christ is he is exalted above all of God's creation. And all belong to him. Obviously, his deity is that which created the angels to begin with. So Hebrews 2:7, verse 16. For assuredly, he, Jesus, does not literally have the nature of angels. Did not give help to angels. Does capture some of the intent of what's being said. And that is, Christ was not here to bear sins of angels. He did not have their nature. He had the nature of man. He had a human form. Again, we touched on that, and we have in the past, in the false doctrine that was introduced years ago. I haven't heard much of it anymore. That Christ provided salvation for angels. No, he did not. But he has the nature of the descendant of Abraham. He gives help to men. We are the resolution to the angelic conflict. And Christ is the ultimate resolution. Hebrews 12, 22 and 23. Again, where we saw Mount Zion, even the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn Christ, who are enrolled in heaven, to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. So we have a future destiny of eternal existence with them, and all this will become an open reality to us, whereas we may get to enjoy bits and pieces throughout our history on this planet, depending on whether we meet them here in some form or fashion. But in eternity, it will be as much of a reality around you as your brothers and sisters in Christ and other human beings around you today. But men will be men, and angels will always be angels. All the half-breeds were killed off. That was called the flood. This indicates that men do not become angels and angels do not become men. That is, angels are not glorified human beings. A person does not go to heaven and become an angel. When you hear the bell ring, no, the believer does not get angelic wings. They don't become angels. Again, all the fundy fantasy that floats around, we are not going to become angels. We don't become angels. F, in addition, all angels are masculine. You cannot find a reference to an angel in a feminine case anywhere in the Bible. You cannot find a manifestation of an angel in any other manifestation other than masculine in form, whether as a normal human being or even the four living creatures and their appearance. So they are all masculine. There is no baby or female angels. I think one of the biggest slights in regards to the angelic order of beings is this proposition of baby angels, as they call them, cherubs. Dude, you ever meet a cherub, you will know it. That is a being of superior force. Satan was a cherub. He is of the cherub class, the highest operative of the angelic order in that regards. See, so there are no female angels. If one is seen a manifestation of an angel, an alien with long hair, I guarantee you that might look like a woman. It's a demon. You would expect a demon possibly to have long hair, because long hair in a male is an overt sign of rebellion against God. and males with long hair, sometimes it is hard to differentiate, especially if you're driving behind them in a car and you honk and you whistle and you go, "Oh, crap." That was back in the old days. "Sorry, dude." "You should wear your beard in the back so I can tell the difference." So there are no baby or female angels. They do not marry or procreate. And there is no increase in their numbers. These are all facts established by the Word of God. Anything over and beyond that, anything else, is just fruitless speculation. The imaginations of people. Matthew 22:30. In regards to, again, the passage, there's no in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are they given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Celibate. They're all male and they're celibate. One, it is erroneous to state that angels are sexless now on this end. While they are natural state of spirit in their manifestation, they manifest themselves with sex, with a sex appearance. Since all manifestations of angels are male, and they did procreate at one time with women in the human race. It wasn't the other way around. It was the angels procreating with women. So in their manifestation, and able to transform, if you will, into a physical, tangible being, it is with the male sex. Genesis 6:1 is where this is recorded for us and following in regards to the revolt of a certain number of demons. The whole attack, satanic attack, was tried to wipe out the purity of the human race and create a half-angelic, half-human race, and hence void out the possibility of Messiah being born into this world, which had to be human, fully human. That was the satanic attack, and didn't take long. This was pre-diluvian period, pre-flood, when this occurred, and it brought about the judgment of the flood because of the evil that occurred in that regards. Now it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God there is angels, and here are fallen angels. They're still in the family of what God created. Saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Whomever they chose. No one had the strength, even if they had the audacity, to deny a fallen demon his pick of female. And the purpose was for procreation. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days will be 120 years. He gives a few years of grace, and judgment then will come upon them in the order of the flood that occurred. And the Nephilim, the giants of the day, the mythology of these great supernatural creatures such as Hercules, and other types of abominations of people. Generally, there is always a core or kernel of truth in regards to even mythology that you hear. And it is quite conceivable that this comes about through traditions of verbal traditions in regards to the history, prehistory, pre-flood history that would be related to by Noah's family, etc., on to others and throughout time. And the Nephilim that were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. They had sexual relations, and birth was the result. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown, So the manifestation of the fallen demons, fallen angels, was male across the board. And hence, that is the sexual aspect of their form that they can become, and that they are also, as referred to in Jude 6. And angels who did not keep their own domain. That looks to the angels of the pre-diluvian period of which we just read. They violated their domain. They violated their celibate restriction placed upon them by God. And God then had to intervene. He said, but abandon their proper abode to remain celibate. They come under a special punishment. He has kept in eternal bonds in their darkness for the judgment of the great day. Whatever number of fallen demons or angels this included, these particular angels, apart from the rest of the demons who are still free today to roam about on this planet, and they're free to engage in their nefarious activities along with Satan, these particular angels have not been granted that freedom throughout human history. They've been incarcerated. They've lost that right. Whatever rules of trial that the angelic conflict is utilizing right now in human history, and Satan and his demons still free. See, so they came under a special judgment. And it is our contention that they are the demons that are released in the book of Revelation for a short amount of time during the tribulation, as they wreak havoc on mankind. If there's any other part of the trib you're glad that you're not here, it's that one period, I guarantee you. Especially if you're a dude, but a female just as much. You don't want to run across one of these guys. They are truly angry and worked up, ready to bring havoc upon, as they will blame man for their own miserable failure itself. Two, angels were created to be celibate, and in phase three, we will be like them in that we will retain our gender, but we will be celibate also. The difference between us as human beings, you will have both male and female. We will retain our gender in manifestation, but we will be celibate. See, that will be our new domain for all eternity sexually. Procreation will continue, but it will be only through believers in their natural body that go into the eternal state. So G, also in this vein, in looking at their nature, they are personal beings, and they're not simply spiritual forces. God is a spirit, but he's also a person, a personality, a true personality, and so are angels. And they're not simply spiritual forces, point G, transient or permanent emanations from God, transient on the move, just figures of visions that God provides. No, they are real, or anything less than we would expect from anyone that is possessed of personality, of being a real being. And our time is all but up, so let's just cut it off here. We'll pick this up Sunday morning. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten and see things in Jesus' name. Amen.